San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, February 4, 2024. Today's message is Leading by Example with our guest speaker, Noble Benning.
As it continues to keep us in that open space and receptive, as Reverend Mark has wonderfully put us through that meditation, I just want to repeat those words. My spirit is moved by it. They said, it don't matter what I'm going through. It don't matter what went through yesterday. Don't matter what I'm going to go through tomorrow. But Father, I am going to trust you. Red Hand knows just what I do and others do. In Romans 8, 31. And those things, what do we do? Through God, I'm going to trust you. So regardless to what life brings to you, when you have that faith of God, when you are connected to God, you don't worry about the situation of yesterday, today, or tomorrow. Because God is there to guide us to where we need to be. He's built a house. He's built the room for us. And there's a path already set out for us. And as we continue to live the example of God, he reveals the paths that we're supposed to take. Again, because we have volition, we have choice. So in that choice, that means that we don't necessarily have to take that path that God has for us. However, as we continue to allow the presence of God to move us and to guide us, he'll get you back on the path. And the reason that comes to me is because I hike. And as a hiker, there are many paths that go up to the top. And those paths intersect. So what that means is I can be on one path, but as I am transversing up to the top, and I stay in communion with God, he will guide me back to get me back on track, to get me on that path so that I can get up to the top where I need to be. And to me, that song was a song of submission that says, whatever is going on, God, I trust you, and I'm going to allow you to guide me. That's the example that we should want to be. We should want to surrender to God, knowing that if he is for me, no one can be against me. And as I have lived my life and I have practiced some of the principles we're going to talk about, he's proven himself to me. So I have that trust, and I'm going to continue to follow the guidance. As we do in each Sunday, I am going to center ourselves in our truth, in what we believe. We believe in God, the living Spirit Almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause. This one manifests itself in and through all creations, but is not absorbed by its creation. The manifest universe is the body of God. It is the logical and necessary outcome of the infinite self-knowingness of God. And as Reverend Mark had said, this is the first Sunday of the month of February. And the theme is, again, the heart to lead. So how do we have a heart to lead? How do we develop a heart to lead? Well, so as I as Dr. Connie had asked me to do the talk, I do what I always do. So what I did was I just let Spirit know I am open to whatever that is revealed through me. And I spoke these words to myself, leading by example. and got quiet for a while and listened. And here's what came through. One of the things that came through, and I'm supposed to share it, I was reminded of a conversation I was having with my granddaughter where we were talking about a word she had read but did not know the meaning. And without knowing the meaning, the words can sometimes, we can sometimes miss the meaning of the message or the wisdom that is being given. And I have told people numerous times, as I am sharing with them and myself. Spirit is speaking to me as I'm speaking to someone else. And again, that's in alignment with our science of mind philosophy in repetition of thought. And as we had talked earlier today, this morning before we got here, about the repetition of thought, the things that we tell ourselves. And that is, we're going to get into that deeper in the conversation, because leading by example, you have to have an intention of what you want to express. So, getting back to the definitions, I had mentioned spirit. So I'm just going to give you the definition of the spirit that I found in Noah Webster's 1828 edition. Reverend John enlightened me to that version. That's a version of the dictionary, but it has many references to spiritual references. A lot of times, you know, the Websters, the theorists, the Merriman, it's the worldview. It's the world definition. And so many times, the world definition has been redefined in many cases, where we're no longer learning the way that it was intended to be learned. So what he says the spirit is the soul of a man, the intelligence, the immaterial, the immortal part of a human being. The spirit shall return to God that gave it. And then there's a reference to Ecclesiastes 12. And Ecclesiastes 12 tells us, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor years draw nigh. And nigh is in reference to near. When thy shall say, I have no pleasure in them. So what he's telling us is that as he's living his life, at some point, he may get off the path. The fact that there's no evil there, well, if he's getting tired of no evil, then that means he's introducing himself to evil. So he's getting off the path. So the spirit can get off the path if the work isn't done. However, we can always get back on the path as we realign ourselves with the God essence within us. And now we're going to get to the title name, Leading by Example. So I looked it up and I said, well, what does that really mean? So again, the same reference from Noah, I looked up leading and it told me that it was guiding, conducting, proceeding, drawing, alluring, passing life. By means through or with, denoting the agent, means the instrument or cause, such as a city is destroyed by fire. Profit is made by commerce. And for the word example, it said a pattern in morals and manners, a copy or a model. That which is proposed or is proper to be imitated. Wow. I didn't find that anywhere in the Merriman or the other versions. And he referenced John 13 in that too. And John 13, verse 15 tells us, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I do, as I have done to you." Now that is Jesus talking to Paul in John 13. So he's telling him, "I've given you an example. I've shown you the way. I'm the way shower. You need to do the same thing and you'll get the same results," because he told us you can do these things and greater. He told us that it was the Father within that doeth the work. Jesus never took credit for any of the miracles that he did. He told us it was the Father. And he told us that just the Father that did the work for him is the same Father that will do it for you. So as we are leading by that example of the waysayer Jesus, we can get there because we're in God's presence. And if God is for me, nothing can be against me. God has the infinite answers. There's nothing that God can't do. And if you're a part of that, there's nothing that you can't do. We just have to do the work to align ourselves with that, which is able to do all. So, what came to me, I asked the question, so what guiding agents are you using as instruments to model you in moral and manners? And of course, as God does, he reminds me of what he's told me. So he reminded me of Galatians 5, 23 through 26. I'm just going to share that with you here. And it says, "But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Such as things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passionate and desires. If we live by Spirit, let us also walk by Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenge one another, envying one another." So what they're saying is, as you live your Christ life, don't belittle anyone else, because we are all on our journey. And as Ernest has told us, we can only receive what God is giving us to the degree that we're willing to accept it, open ourselves up, and believe that he can bring it to us. And as people do their practice by example, they reach different levels of that awareness. And as they reach those awareness, more is revealed to them. And I think everyone can agree that as we do our practices, God gives us revelations all the time. He's always giving us solutions to our problems when we actually ask and believe in faith. So getting back to that Galatians 5:22 and 23, and it's where Paul lists 9 specific behaviors: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And he says that results from the work of the Holy Spirit in a Christian life. So let us explore these 9 behaviors a little deeper. You know, we talk about the fruits of the Spirit at the surface, but I don't hear enough talking about and honoring and motivating us to be that expression, be those attributes that provide moral and direction in our manners. So love. Oh, and it also said here, and I think this is very important, The fruits of spirit are often considered essential qualities for living a Christian life. So let's look at love. Love is often said to be the foundation of virtues and the greatest of all. It refers to selfless, sacrificial love for others as demonstrated by Jesus Christ. And I've heard that in numerous times. And I believe that it is true. God is love. Love is the most powerful force on Mother Earth. Because when you're in love, love is at the top. And for me, everything else transcends from love. Some of the other virtues, love starts it. I mean, when you have love, you have joy, you have peace, you have patience. But and then I'm going to go down to joy now. Joy, Christian joy, is not dependent on circumstances, but is the deep sense of contentment and gladness that comes from a relationship with God. And we hear that for people that are truly in joy, it isn't something the world can take away from you. When God gives you joy, the world can't do nothing with that joy. Don't know how to do anything with it because it didn't give it to you. Peace. Peace refers to that inner peace, reconciliation with God, and living in harmony with others. I mean, that's why we're here, right? To love one another, to live in harmony with one another. So if you don't have peace, there's no way you can get to where you want to be in loving your nature, loving your neighbor. There's also patience. And they say, be careful what you ask for, huh? It involves being slow to anger and showing forbearance and patience towards others, even in challenging situations. I can remember I used to allow road rage to get to me. But thank God I was at the spiritual center one day when Reverend Gordon was talking, and he had put out the ideal that you have a choice. As you're sitting there enraged, you can choose to just allow it to slide off your shoulder, and you won't have the high blood pressure, all the other things that are associated with getting yourself worked up over something that you can't control anyway, and probably wasn't even about you in the first place. So I really took that to heart. And again, as a newly disciple of the religious science, practice was something that I was just starting. So it allowed me to actually go out and practice what Reverend Gordon had proposed. And it works. It works when you work it. It'll work when you don't work it. But it'll definitely work when you put the time in to put yourself in a situation and take control of that situation. Don't let the situation control you. You control the situation from the standpoint that if someone cuts you off, you can choose. As a part of being patient, you can be compassionate and understanding. And because there's been times when I've done something unintentionally. And when I did something unintentionally, I didn't want to have a negative reaction from someone. So if that's true for me, why am I not that for someone else? We talk about be the change in the world you want to be, you want to see. Well, that means you have to do that. You have to become whatever it is you want to see in the world. The other one is kindness. It's a quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate towards others, often putting their needs before one's own. And there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about, yeah, I go through love and kindness. And I have a friend, and that is her favorite scripture. And what a beautiful heart. When you give love and kindness, you really open up your heart and your mind and your spirit to more of what God is. Because when we express love and kindness, we awaken the God consciousness within us. We now bring our vibration up to where we're hearing and we're seeing what we need to hear and what we need to see. God is always there. He never leaves us. It's us leaving Him by not keeping ourselves in the right spiritual environment. And what I mean by that is God plants seeds in us, and sometimes we get seeds from the revelations that He gives us. Now, as we are getting those seeds, what are we doing within us to nurture those seeds and to make sure that we're putting the right fertilizer in there for those seeds to grow? Those are the thoughts and actions that we do that support what we say. And then there's the goodness. Goodness signifies moral excellence and integrity in one's character and actions. Let's think about that. Signifies moral excellence and integrity. So, we can profess to be good, but is our action supporting that? You know, we have all these attributes and virtues. It's good to know them, but it's better to be them. You really get the fruits of what that virtue is supposed to bring to you by doing it and being it. And for me, we do things and we should not accept anything in return. Like a lot of times, people are good to other people, but if they don't receive anything in return, it's like they feel some kind of way. However, God says to love for the sake of loving. If you are loving for the sake of loving, you don't care what someone does with that love. It is that person's responsibility to do with that love what they are capable of doing. Once I release it, it's no longer mine. It's theirs. I've done the work that I need, and I have the right intention when I released it. How they receive it and what they do with it is not my concern. I've had to learn that. Because when we don't learn it, we get the opposite side. We give goodness, but then we have envy or we get angry because we're not getting the result. But that's not what Christ, that's not the example that Christ gave us. When He was helping people, He didn't care what they looked like. All He cared about was, do you believe that the Father can heal you? So as we are living our lives in that example, do you believe that the Father within you will support you in everything that you need? My answer is yes. I'm still a work in progress, so I still have work to do. But the intention, the belief is there. And as Spirit continues to reveal the love, the caring, the patience, the understanding, it strengthens me in that belief. And it feeds itself because I want more of the good that continues to be revealed to me. What about y'all? I mean, is that something that you want, to have God's goodness revealed through you, as you, for you? And I don't, it really isn't difficult. It is, as Ernest Holmes has always championed, when you practice it. Again, it's ironic how on the way, before we came to service today, Donald and I were talking about repetition. And he had shared a story with me where, you know, he was told to do something. He didn't really feel like anything was happening, but he also prefaced it by saying when he was given direction, he was also given insight into, even though you say this, it may not appear that anything is going on. But as you are doing this on the surface, God is working inside of you. And he's doing that work, and he's hearing what you're saying, because what you're saying is your request of what you want. And that's what we don't really realize. You know, a lot of times we are in this misguided belief that we have to have a grandiose prayer or some exotic relationship with God. He says, come as you are. To what degree are we going to believe that? He will meet you where you are and help you get to where he wants you to be. But you have to submit where you are. It doesn't happen overnight. But the journey is a beautiful journey, I feel. Okay, getting back to those virtues. Faithfulness. This virtue relates to loyalty, reliability, and trustworthiness in one's commitment and relationship. You know, that's sort of a little different. A lot of times when we think of faithfulness, we just believe without, but this seems to go a little deeper, and it talks about the loyalty, where regardless to what it looks like, regardless to what someone else is saying about this situation, I have a belief that God has given me, and I'm maintaining the belief that God gives me, not that worldly view, because the worldly views, they're not into spirit. There's just different interactions that I have experienced as I'm being a spiritual being and falling off the path and getting into world consciousness. Because right now, the world's in chaos, and it's in chaos because we're not doing individual work. We're grabbing the newspaper and seeing all these terrible things that are going on. And that's just a small snapshot of what's really going on. I found that when I go and talk to people individually, it doesn't correlate to what the worldview is. Most people that I talk to want to have a healthy, prosperous, loving life. They don't want to go out into the world and have conflict. However, because of the way that the news media has narrated situations, people are afraid of each other. It's incredible. As I've been happy, this is a little off the subject, but I've been very happy as the doctor has given me permission to exercise again. And that's been something that I haven't been able to do in 8 months. So it's a big deal for me, because that exercise, it creates the right chemicals in my body that helps me stay alive, awake, healthy, and vibrant. So I'm glad that I can do it again. But as I've been getting back out there, it's like you can go by a person, you can say hello, and they will not respond. And when I was growing up, if you said hello to somebody, they said hello back. They were happy that somebody recognized them as somebody. Nowadays, I think it's just fear, and it's unfortunate. And we've got to get away from that. We've got to, irregardless to what we see others doing, we have to grow our fruits of the Spirit. And we've got a wonderful lab, the world. Every time we step outside, we have that opportunity to be that example, to practice who the divine essence in us is guiding us to demonstrate. And I just enjoy that because I love people. But, you know, as God becomes a part of who you are, you love yourself. And you love those that look like you. Since we're all a part of God, we should be loving each other. When I'm looking at you, at times I should be able to see myself in you. Because at our core, we are more alike than we are different. And as we, and I believe as we continue to grow those fruits of the Spirit, that wisdom comes to us because we can see. We had talked last month about foundations, and one of the quotes was, I am no better or no less of a soul than anyone else. We are equal. No one is better. No one is less than. No one is above. No one is below each other. So if that's the case, we should be cooperating with each other, working together to build something great that is beneficial for all of us. Gentleness involves having a gentle and humble spirit, showing meekness and compassion towards others. And I don't know if you're noticing as I'm reading these, one virtue consists of many other virtues. So as you are expressing virtues, more are added to you. And I guess the question is, do we want to be adding righteous, virtuous things to us, or do we want to add those that are not righteous and virtuous? Because we have the volition. We always have the choice. Instead of love, we can choose hate. God gives us that choice, but we're not in alignment with Him when we do that. So is that the example that we want to be? Out of alignment with a guide who's going to take us to the house that He's built for us. I want the guide that I know has the absolute path to take me where I need to go. So I'm going to be going within, doing those practices, the meditation, the prayers, trusting and believing, and then seeing and building upon what God brings into my life. Knowing that just as He's brought me one instance of joy, one instance of love, He can bring me many, many more. Self-control. The ability to exercise discipline and restraint over one's desires and behaviors, particularly in the face of temptation. That's the one that as we continue to unify with the God within us, He brings you that self-control. He will tell you at the right time, in the right place, calm down. I've got you. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be ugly with someone. This situation is not about you. I am of love. So let's continue to be of love. That's what I found in the practice that I have continued to do. So, before we move far away from the talk, we're talking about the omnipresence within each one of us. And we acknowledge the presence within, that we believe and know that this presence is in and through everything and everywhere and available to all to the degree that they believe the Father within will reveal the perfections of itself through you, through us. And as I say that, I'm hearing Uncle Ernie, practice, practice, practice. As he further states in the Science of Mind, page 413-2, to practice the presence of God is to awaken within as the Christ consciousness. Christ is God in the soul of man. The resurrection is the death of the belief that we are separated from God. Let me repeat that again. The resurrection is the death of the belief that we are separated from God. And there's a saying that I've had that, you know, you tell yourself things and sometimes you don't realize the power that what you're telling yourself has. And the thing that I had been telling myself since I was a kid, because that's what I was taught, there's no place that I am that God is not. So whenever I'm in a crisis, I go back to that. And as I go back to that, he gives me strength. He gives me power. He gives me faith to move forward in whatever the challenge is that I'm dealing with at that time. And just as, and I encourage each one to find that key within yourself that ignites that connection with God, with that Father within, that will do the work for you just as he did the work for Jesus Christ. That's how we do the example. Jesus gave us the example, and I'm not in the belief that I can't do those things. Jesus told us. Now, am I supposed to believe someone who doesn't want me to have that power? Or am I going to believe the one that demonstrated the power and told us that it's available to us too? I'm going to believe Jesus, and I'm going to do that work of nurturing those fruits of the Spirit so more and more can be revealed to me, and that the Christ consciousness that Jesus had is the Christ consciousness that flows through me, that I vibrate so that when God is broadcasting what he's broadcast that Jesus was able to pick up, I can pick up those things that are mine to pick up. And you can pick up those things that are yours to pick up in your life. Because we're all individuals. God has different things for us. And I'm aware of that, and I honor that. And I honor and support and celebrate all those around me. I have had the intention of meeting God in everyone that I meet. I want you to reveal the God in you. It makes me feel that this is the truth. It certifies, it confirms that what I am doing is what I'm supposed to be doing. And when I see your successes, that lets me know that you are doing what you're supposed to be doing. And we just support one another in that. Ooh, wow. Time went by. So, there's more to say, but my time is run out. However, we do have a second song, so we are going to play our second song.